Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Here, Paul says, to know him. The pronoun him here, of course, denotes Christ as the all-inclusive one. Second, this verse speaks of the power of Christ's resurrection. Third, of the fellowship of his sufferings. And fourth, of being conformed to his death. What riches are in this verse? In verse 11, Paul goes on to say, if by any means I may attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. Here we find another diamond, the out-resurrection from among the dead, the outstanding resurrection. Well, we hope you stay tuned today because this life study of Philippians is all about diamonds, the precious truths left to us in Philippians chapter 3 by the Apostle Paul. Ron Kangas has returned to be with us for what I believe will be an important program. Thanks for helping, Ron.
Thanks for having me participate in this particular message.
Let me read verses 10 through 16. This is the mine where Paul has left us so many diamonds that we're going to focus on today. Beginning at verse 10, it says, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If perhaps I may attain to the out-resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue, if even I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not account of myself to have laid hold. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. Let us therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also God will reveal to you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have attained, by the same rule, let us walk. Let's join Witness Lee for this life study.
What riches are here? To know him. Him is an all-inclusive item of the divine riches. Then plus him, you have the power of his resurrection. Then you have the fellowship of his sufferings. Then you have the conformity to his death. 4 diamonds in this one verse. Then verse 11 says, if by any means I may attain to the outstanding resurrection. In brief, the out resurrection from among the dead. You have another diamond, the outstanding resurrection. Yet, Paul was honest, telling us the real situation he was in. He said, not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfected, but I pursue. I pursue if I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. You just spend some time to pick up all the diamond. Then how about verse 13? Verse 13 says what? Brothers, I do not yet reckon myself to have laid hold. But one thing, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to things which are before. One thing I pursue. I pursue by forgetting the things behind and by stretching forward to the things before. In this way, I pursue toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then at the conclusion of this portion of the word, Paul says what? Let us therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind. The mind shown in the foregoing verses. I would beg you to pick up all these golden points.
I think if we have ears to hear, then it won't take that much pleading to get us to pick up all these golden points. Let's use our time in this break to talk about the gold now that Witness Lee has brought us to in Paul's writings.
If we are to even recognize the gold or the diamonds that are in these verses, we need to be delivered from a superficial, traditional approach to the book of Philippians. And that is, it's simply about joy. It's an epistle of joy. But this is nowhere near the spirit and content of this book. In chapter 3, we're heading toward the deep and personal experience of the all-inclusive Christ. As a prelude to this, Paul treasured the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is the knowing of Christ by revelation through the Word in His all-inclusiveness. And this was so precious to Paul that he would count loss the things that were gained to him. And the context indicates these are not things like money or some kind of physical material blessing. It was his culture, his Judaism, his religion, his ethical attainments, his religiosity. All of that he counted as loss. Then he suffered the loss, that is, he actually experienced a separation from these things. He counts it all as refuse so that he may gain Christ. Then we come to the heart in verse 10, to know him, the all-inclusive Christ, to know him experientially, then the power of his resurrection, the inward intrinsic life power of resurrection. Related to this was Paul's intense desire to participate in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. We may see later, these are by no means Christ's sufferings for redemption. No one can share in that. Only he is qualified to suffer for redemption. But we know from Colossians 1:24, Christ is still suffering for his body. He was suffering when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting him by persecuting the believers. So there is a fellowship of Christ's present and continuing sufferings for the building up of the body of Christ. Then Paul even wanted to be conformed to his death. The death is like a mold. He would be pressed into it by resurrection power and be shaped according to it. Then this leads to another longing that he, Paul, would obtain what he called the out-resurrection, the special resurrection, which has two aspects. The objective aspect is that it's the resurrection of those believers who died, who went to the Lord in victory. They are the overcomers, and they will have a special resurrection to become co-kings with Christ in the kingdom. But on the subjective side, it refers to the process of our entire being gradually brought into resurrection. We're delivered out of the natural constitution, out of the old creation, and especially our soul with its functions are brought into the resurrection of Christ. Our faculties, our abilities are resurrected. All of this is packed into this section. No wonder the introductory word from our announcer was that this is a mine, it's unsearchable. If we cannot say, upon considering the heart of the divine revelation and considering a portion such as these verses in Philippians 3, that the riches here are unsearchable, then we are far, far away from knowing what is in these books. And we need mercy from the Lord to be enlightened and to be humbled and to come to the Word again, to learn from those who have gone far deeper than we ever thought was possible in this crucial portion of the New Testament.
We want to go on, and this section is about gaining Christ, but he begins it in an interesting way. He poses us somewhat a kind of a quiz. In those opportunities when we have to share in his sufferings, as you pointed out, we may have had a desire, maybe hidden, maybe expressed, to escape this whole process altogether. Here's Witness Lee.
Who can testify that once you really believed in the Lord Jesus, and then you tried a few times at least to escape? I heard testimonies after testimonies. They made up to escape from the Lord Jesus for 10 years. And eventually, they all told us they escaped around the world. They still were in the arm of the Lord Jesus. You can't. You just can't. He has what? Obtained you, and he has gained you. Amen. He has gained you, he has obtained you, and he has laid his hold over you. For what purpose? For the purpose that you may gain him.
Amen.
That you may obtain him, and that you may lay hold of him. Now, how to obtain Christ? What is the process? This process is absolutely in verse 10. To know him by knowing the power of his resurrection. And if you are going to know, that means to experience, the power of his resurrection, you must have the fellowship of his sufferings. You must share in his suffering. You have to realize, in a good sense, Christ's suffering is not over. The head Christ has finished his suffering, but not the body Christ. As to the head, the sufferings all were finished. But as to the body, the sufferings are still going on. And all these sufferings are called his sufferings. Paul's sufferings in Colossians 1:24, he considered as what? As the filling up of Christ's suffering for his body. So, Paul says what? We must share his sufferings. We must participate in, take part of his sufferings. The sufferings of Christ are still going on for his building up of his body. And you and I, we all have to share this suffering.
Well, Ron, I'd like to read this verse in Colossians that he referred to here, and then get your comment about the very precious point he brought out from this verse, a point that is probably quite new to many of our listeners. Colossians 1:24, I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church. I think this notion that there might be something lacking in the sufferings of Christ really needs to be developed.
It surely does, and we begin with the verse itself. Paul is suffering, and he says in this suffering, it's of a certain category, that he will make up what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for his body. That's what he says. There is something lacking of the afflictions of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, not for redemption. The Lord suffered in a way that only God the Father can understand. And when the 6 hours on the cross were over, he could say, "It is finished." That suffering for redemption has no lack. There is no one who has the ground to say there is any lacking in Christ's sufferings for redemption. But his redemptive death was also a life-releasing death. And the life released in his death, signified by the water that flowed out of his pierced side with the blood, is the divine life imparted into us through his regeneration, through his resurrection at the time of our regeneration. This life produces the body and builds up the body. Now, for the sake of the growth and the building up of the body, Christ is still undergoing afflictions. There is still much opposition to this. The enemy hates this. Religion is oblivious to it, and therefore, mainly unintentionally, interferes with it and frustrates it. So the ministry that carries out the ministry of Christ as life for the building up of the body requires entering into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, the afflictions of Christ that are lacking in the sense that they're not yet completed. Christ's sufferings for redemption were finished when the work of his vicarious death for us was accomplished. He could then say, "It is finished." The building up of the body is not yet completed. It's far from it. Therefore, the afflictions continue for this end, for this purpose. And Christ is not suffering alone. This is why the word fellowship is used. He needs some to be one with him in his goal to build up the church as the body of Christ, who will share his sufferings, his afflictions, and enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. I add this, we shouldn't think that every little pain we undergo is the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. This is a particular category. We're not suffering because we're part of the old creation. This is not suffering because of our mistakes. This is not even suffering because of the discipline of the Spirit or for our transformation. This is a particular suffering for the growth and building up of the body of Christ and participating gladly in the fellowship of his sufferings for his body.
Well, Ron, in this last section, we want to focus on the diamond that's in verse 8 in chapter 3. "But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom," and now here, pay special attention, "on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ." This Greek word for refuse we're going to hear can mean trash or dregs or dung or even dog food. Strong words. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
"It's not just to receive him, but to count all things a loss and to actually suffer the loss of all things and count them refuse. I tell you, here was a man by the name Paul. He gave up everything. He reckoned everything under his feet. Whatsoever, to him, everything is a refuse. It's a trash, a kind of dung, dog food. Everything. Judaism, dung. Religion, dog food. Culture, dog food. Position, whatsoever. All things to him are just dung." Lord, hallelujah. I am cleared. I am fully cleared from any kind of entanglement on this earth, Lord. Now, I only care for you, that I may gain you, I may be found in you, then to know you. You see, should I say the word obtained in verse 11, you see, is a continuation of the acting pursuit of the apostle. A continuation. I may gain him to know him. I may gain him in order that I may know him. I may gain him to obtain him. You may say this. I may gain him to obtain him. By what way? By knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Being conformed to his death.
we're here with one of those jeweler's eyeglasses, and we're examining this precious, valuable diamond that's been left to us as part of our inheritance from the Apostle Paul. It's almost as if we're hearing a gospel message today, that we need to give up everything for Christ. I hope our listeners are getting a glimpse of this diamond. Maybe you can tell us what you see in this diamond.
Well, I'd like to share a little what we see through Paul's eyes. We know from Galatians 1, he advanced in his religion, Judaism, above his contemporaries. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He gives his lineage in Philippians 3. He lists the best things of his culture. But something happened to him. He met a person, the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus. And the Son of God was revealed in him, as he mentions in Galatians 1, 15 and 16. And Christ began to live in him, we see in Galatians 2, 20, and be formed in him, expressed in Galatians 4, 19. This Christ was making his home in him, in Ephesians 3, 16. Then Paul spontaneously reevaluated everything he had, everything from his background, all he had inherited, all he had attained. He reevaluated it, not by comparing it to a new system of thought, by comparing it to a wonderful person, the glorious, resurrected, ascended, enthroned, all-inclusive Christ. That is the crucial matter. He didn't exchange one religious system for another. He exchanged his religion, his culture, his self-righteousness, his religious zeal. He let all of that go because he had met the most precious one, the wonderful Lord Jesus. So he began by saying in Philippians 3, he began by speaking of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Just knowing him, knowing the truth about him, is so excellent. That would lead to the knowing of him experientially. So Paul contrasted the excellency of the knowledge of Christ with his entire background, everything. Then he realized in his new version of accounting, I count all of that as loss. It's altogether on the negative side. Then he actually experienced the loss of these things. That's what he means by he suffered the loss. Then, as we said in the opening word, he had a view toward counting the loss and suffering the loss. And that is what he lost was dregs, was refuse, was scum, was dog food. This is strong because Paul felt strongly, and he could be strong because he saw the comparison between his religion and his culture and the all-inclusive Christ. We can only have this experience when we also begin to appreciate the all-inclusive Christ and regard everything we have humanly as dog food.
He enumerated, Judaism, religion, and culture. But this could just as well apply to us in our situation, couldn't it? I mean, even our own church activities could become something that, in a sense, we're so filled with, yet not experiencing Christ, that the Lord may say, at least inwardly in our heart, we need to lay that aside to gain him.
If it doesn't apply to us, then we are nowhere near entering into this portion of Philippians. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16, he received mercy to be a pattern to all those who would believe. Part of the pattern is counting as refuse all that we had in ourselves, in our culture, in our religion, in our self-righteousness.
Please join us again. We continue on the life study of Philippians. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Weil. Thank you very much for listening.